nation as Mother's Day. But I do not have a Mother's Day message for you. And it is not because I object to mothers. I had the nicest mother I believe a human being could have. I like mothers. My mother was remarkable. My wife used to tell me you were just a mommy's boy anyway. But I was close to her. And I remember when she went away on maternity leave for my next to the last brother. Now today when you go on maternity leave, you come home the next day or the day after. Then you stayed in bed 10 days. And oftentimes when you got out of bed, you forgot how to walk. And my mother was away on maternity leave. And her sister, my Aunt Lou, came to cook for us. I wondered then, and I still wonder, how two sisters raised by the same mother in the same house could cook so differently. And for the 10 days that my mother was away, all I had for food was water, milk, bread and butter. And when my mother came home, I was happy. Now, that's not because I object to mothers. And the scriptures speak well of mothers. You remember what we read in Proverbs? Who can find a virtuous woman? Young men, when you're looking around, find a virtuous woman. I remember when I... Well, how shall I say it? Set my eye on my wife. She was a member of a nursing class. And they wanted to know, what does he see in her? I saw Christ in her. I didn't see him then. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her worth is far above rubies. Her children rise up and call her blessed. You know that's what my children are doing today? A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So you will understand that I have no objection to mothers, but our subject is not mothers. Our subject, the walk of the believer. Walking with the Lord, walking before the Lord, and walking after the Lord. Book of Genesis, please. Chapter 5. Walking with the Lord. Genesis chapter 5. Verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with the Lord. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked. I wonder how easy was it to walk with God in Enoch's days? Or you say to yourself, oh, that was easy. Those were pretty good people in Enoch's days. It wasn't hard to walk with God. Well, look with me at the book of Jude, please. Book of Jude, verse 14. Enoch walked with God. What were the times like in Enoch's day? Book of Jude. Verse 14. Now let's read. Enoch, the one who walked with God, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all.
They must have been pretty bad.
Sort of like our days, no? Don't you think? To convince all that are ungodly, notice that word, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly. In one verse you have ungodly four times. So when Enoch walked with God, it wasn't easy. The days were just like these days. Do you realize that the majority of people in the United States are ungodly? They have no use for God, no use for His Word, and less use for His people. I have it on good authority that there are those who are plotting and planning to get rid of every Christian in the United States. Those were the days in which Enoch lived. But he walked with God. And in spite of the ungodliness in the world today and in the United States today, God expects His people to walk with Him. Oh, don't say it's so hard. And they tell you, oh, compromise. I remember we used to go to scientific meetings. And at the scientific meetings, they used to serve what they call a collation. Now, what they serve for a collation, brother, you would never have any work to do. The collation did not require teeth. They drank their collation. And more than once I would be coming into the room, here comes Garnes. He only drinks water. Had a classmate, brilliant fellow, made the Honor Society. He died a few years ago. Cirrhosis of the liver from what? Alcohol. They were ungodly in those days. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. I wonder what the times were like in Noah's day. Was it easy to walk with God in Noah's day? Verse 10, Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Oh my, look at verse 11. When Noah walked with God, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. But Noah walked with God. Is the earth corrupt today? Is there corruption in the United States today? Look at all the CEOs and the trouble and difficulties they've brought upon themselves. And for you, dear sisters, please, don't be led away by what you see. So many women want to do what the men are doing, and they're up there just as corrupt as the men. They're in great trouble. Corruption and violence. In Noah's day, and there is corruption and violence in our day. You know and heard about the little girl, 8 years old, sitting in her aunt's living room, looking at TV, a bullet comes in, goes through her head, and kills her. Are we violent? There was violence in Noah's day. In spite of the violence, in spite of the corruption, God expects His people to walk with the Lord. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. The times of Noah. Corruption and violence. Just like today. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 37. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating. You eat today? Do we do a lot of eating today? You have all sorts. McDonald's. Popeyes. Bob Evans. All sorts of eating places. And they tell us that more than 50% of the population of America are too fat. And now they're putting people on diets, recommending low carb, low carbohydrate, low this and low the other. And you know the sad thing about this eating in this country? They don't give thanks. Brother George and I sometimes go eat. It's very seldom that you see anyone or any group of people giving thanks. The last time we went to eat, it was so nice to see a table of about 15 or 20 people as they bowed their heads and gave thanks for the food. We are eating today. What else happens in the days of Noah? Let's look. Verse 38, they were eating, drinking. What? Do they drink today? I received a pencil from a group. Man, women against drunk drivers. You know, it's a shame. We call ourselves civilized, and yet you have to advertise and tell people don't drink if you're going to drive. You wonder, where is our intelligence? Obviously, if you drink, you shouldn't drive. Oh, but they're drinking today and mixing all sorts of things. What else did they do in those days? They married. And they gave in marriage. What's the difference between marrying and giving in marriage? When you go home, look it up. And I believe it is related to a large degree to what we see. They call it shacking up. Ever heard of that? You just decide to live together. And when you're tired of it, you quit. They married and were given in marriage, the way they do today. I read the newspaper every day. Now, I know there's some believers who don't believe you should read the newspaper. But I read the newspaper every day. And you know one column I like to read? Dear Abby. If you don't read, read it. And you get a good idea of what's going on in this world, especially in the marriage stage. I didn't read this in Dear Abby. It happened to my personal knowledge many years ago. A patient came to me, Mr. John Doe. The following week, the lady came, Mrs. So-and-so Doe. And I made the connection. I said, are you related to Mr. John Doe? He said, oh, yes, he's my husband. The following week, another lady came, and she was Mrs. Sadie Doe. And I said, did you two ladies marry two brothers? Oh, no. We're married to the same man. We decided there's no point fighting over him, so we agreed to share it. In the days of Noah, just like the days of today. But Noah walked with the Lord. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Regardless of the times, regardless of the evil, God expects His people to walk with the Lord, to walk with Him. 2 Timothy, did I say, chapter 3? Verse 1. This know that in the last days, difficult, perilous times shall come. Grievous times shall come. And in verses 4, 2 through 4, 20 things are listed characterizing the last days. Let's look at them briefly. And you decide for yourself whether we are in the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Are they? That Hollywood bunch. Bunch of show-offs. Occupied with themselves. Covetous. Lovers of money. Brother George always often mentions this. How much is enough? How much money do you need? How much is enough? And the more you have, the more you want. Covetous. Boasters. Oh my. In the sports world, they're boasting. They are preparing for the Olympics. And when I was in college, the big question was, when will a man run a mile in 4 minutes? That's passé. When do men run a mile in less than 4 minutes? And they're doing it today. And they're boasting about it. Proud. Oh my. Are men proud today? Blasphemers or revilers. And you know who are the most reviled people in the United States today? Us, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, look at the next one. Disobedient to parents. Is that true today? I think of what happens today. Violence. Children going around in school shooting each other. Do you know that my father would not let us bring a gun, a play gun, into his house? Maybe he knew what he was talking about. Or you could bring a fire engine. The girls could bring a doll in a carriage. But no gun came in his house. And I sometimes wonder about present-day parents. You have the gun in your house. Why do you put it where the children can find it? Violence. Oh, listen to this one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Is that true today? Again, when I was a boy, you see, that was a long time ago. As my daughters used to say, the olden days. Long time ago. Lovers of pleasure. On a Sunday morning, every business shop in New York City was closed. If you had not completed your shopping by midnight Saturday, you'd have to wait till Monday morning. Today, they advertise such and such a game. Not in the afternoon, starts in the morning. A TV discussion starts Sunday morning. They are marching on Washington Sunday morning. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. All of these big church buildings. And what are they preaching? Sociology. You must compromise. You must get along with the next fellow. As they used to tell me again at these scientific meetings, Garnes, you must fraternize. Be one of the boys. Our sexes walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Let me read for you a few things true of America in the last 50 years. And you, what I'm going to read, you know already. And we know what kind of world we're living in. Drugs. Rampant throughout the society. From the higher-ups in Hollywood to the fellows in poverty on the streets. Drugs. Pedophilia. Oh, my. We've had a lot of that. Religious leaders illicitly interfering with young children. Plenty of that. Oh, my. I don't have to mention homosexuality, do I? Same-sex marriage. I have 30 of them listed here. I'm not going to read any more. Obviously, we are living in the last days. But God expects the believer to walk with the Lord. Now, you'll pardon me if I use a little Latin here. There is one sine qua non if you're going to walk with the Lord. Amos chapter 3. One thing that must be true if you're going to walk with the Lord. Amos chapter 3. Verse 3. It's a question. And the answer to the question is no. Let's read. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Those of you that are older, you know when you were first in love and you'd hold hands and walk together because you were agreed. Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed, and we cannot walk with the Lord unless we are in agreement with Him. Those of you that are musically minded, everybody here, I'm sure you've heard of Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. Everybody here has heard about it. The great, marvelous, unfinished symphony by Franz Schubert. And why didn't he finish it? We don't know. But it is said that he was very forgetful. And the story is told that he went to a certain restaurant, and while he was there, he wrote some music on the back of the menu. The waitress knew that he was a musician, and when he left, she took the menu and kept it. He returned about 3 weeks later. She served him, and then she brought this music on the menu. Mr. Schubert, what do you think of this? Mr. Schubert looked at it and said, whoever wrote it was pretty good. He'd forgotten that he wrote it. And it is thought that his unfinished symphony was never finished because he forgot to finish it. But you know, there is another unfinished symphony you don't hear much about. by a man named Béla Bartók. He wrote a symphony. He died before he finished it. And another man completed it. And where Béla Bartók stopped and where the next man began, you can't tell when you listen to the symphony. I wonder why. This second man was a friend of Béla Bartók. They ate together. They talked together. They went to outstanding places of music and art together. And when Béla Bartók died, this man knew him so well, he was able to finish his symphony, and you can't tell where one stopped and where the other started. Walking with the Lord. Many years ago, most of the things I tell you happened many years ago. You almost think these things don't happen today, but they do. Christmas time, and a lovely young lady in the meeting, she was one of my daughter's bridesmaids in the wedding. I was at the exit door greeting the saints as they left, wishing them holiday blessings and that sort of thing, you know. This young lady came and gave me a book. This is a present for you. I was so amazed, so surprised, and so touched by the fact that she would give me a present. I said, you have a seat. I want to thank you specially. And when the greetings were over, I went over. You know how it is at Christmas, especially with little children? Their birthday or Christmas, they're not interested in the wrapping. They tear the wrapping off in one sheet of press. Am I right? All right. And I tore off the wrapping. I wanted to see the present. It was a book. And I said to her, sis, this is not good. The title of the book was, Jesus, Are You Running With Me? I said, Jesus doesn't run with you. You walk with him. She accepted my criticism, got married since, has a nice daughter, and 3 weeks ago called us from New York to find out how we were. So she didn't feel insulted. Jesus, are you running with me? Nonsense! I am to walk with him. He decides the speed. I don't decide the speed. Another group in New York. Had a lot of experiences in New York. Quite a place. A young couple in the meeting, recently married. Now, in New York City, from Christmas to New Year's, at Rockefeller Center, they have the famous Rockettes. These are people that dance and sing. Well known throughout the nation, and people come from parts of Europe and South America to see and hear the Rockettes. And there was this young couple in fellowship. And the wife said, I'd like to see the Rockettes. Husband said, I don't think we should go there. She kept after him and kept after him and kept after him. And he said, all right, we'll go and see the Rockettes. And they went to the Rockettes, to the ticket agent. And the husband said, 3 tickets, please. And he bought 3 tickets. And his wife looked and said, why 3? He said, 1 for you, 1 for me, and 1 for the Lord. How about it? Tears welled up in her ears. She said, let's go home. As we would say, she got the message. We are to walk with the Lord. A warning. Hebrews chapter too. A serious mourning. Hebrews chapter 2. Walk with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we slip away from them. I know your Bible's going to all read that, but that's a better read. Slipping away from the truth. Slipping away from the truth. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. You did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? There were those in Galatia that were drifting away from the truth. Now, young folks, let me tell you something. God has put you here in this assembly. Stay here. Don't drift away. I know. Well, he's dead now. He wasn't a young man when he died. Studied medicine in Boston. In assembly fellowship, just like this one, in Boston. Came to New York for advanced training. Interned at the hospital where I interned. Then we missed him from the meeting. One day I saw him sometime after, calling him by name. I said, "You don't look very happy. Where have you been? What's happening?" And you know what he said to me? "The IRS has been after me ever since I bought that liquor shop." In fellowship here, and he straight off drifted away and bought a liquor shop. And he died out of fellowship with the Lord. I know another one. He too was a physician. I heard him preach sound gospel. But he too drifted away. And he got to the point where he carried a gun with him. He wasn't depending on God anymore. He was going to defend himself. Don't drift away. A very sad verse in the Bible. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Verse 10. A believer who has drifted away, no longer walking with the Lord, he has drifted away. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's a shame. A man in association with the Apostle Paul. And he thought so little of divine things in a Paul that he drifted away. That's sad. Again, I say, young people, stay where the truth is. Don't drift away. Stay where God has put you. Walk with the Lord. Suppose you have drifted away. Is there a means of return? The brother shakes his head. and I know some who have returned. And I think of one young lady, and she said to me, I drifted away. She said, there's nothing out there. Those people think they're having fun. We're having a better time in the assembly. Do you believe it? I do. At least I enjoy myself being among you. I look forward to the meeting. But suppose you have drifted away. What shall you do? Proverbs chapter 38. Proverbs 38. To those, I'm sorry, not 38, I should know better than that. Must be 28. Yes, 28. You see, that's what old age does to you. Your vision begins to turn to fear. That's what happened to Jacob. But the thing about Jacob was, now he deceived his father Isaac because Isaac's vision was poor. And when Jacob became an old man, his vision was poor. And Joseph brought his two sons for Jacob to bless. And when Jacob went to bless them, he crossed his hand, and Joseph said, no, Dad, it should be the other way. And Jacob said, no, son, I know what I'm doing. I don't have natural vision, but I've got spiritual vision. That's a beautiful subject to take up, spiritual vision. But let's read here what happens when one is drifted away. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper. And as long as a child of God remains away from God, he won't prosper. And know another doctor. Smart fellow. Made the honor society in medical school. Practicing in New York City, away from the Lord, left the assembly. No success in his practice, he went out to California. Practiced there a while, no success, he came back to New York. And someone told him, I didn't tell him, the trouble is not in New York. The trouble is not in California. The trouble is with you. Get back to God. And you'll have success. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9. First John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that's so nice. When the believer strays away, God will take him back. All he has to do is confess his sins. We are to walk with the Lord. It is not a question of the Lord walking with me. It's a question of my walking with the Lord. Number 405, please. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nor of this world's delusive dreams. I have renounced all sinful pleasure, Jesus is mine. There's nothing between us. That's the way to walk the earth, with nothing between. Number 405. Nothing between myself and the Savior, not of this world. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between, nothing between. Beloved. Isn't that nice? Isn't that a good summary of what we've been reading? Walking with the Lord. Don't let anything come between. And you know, that's nice. I like to see mothers and their babies like our sister. Hold those babies so close to them. That's what the Lord wants from me. Nothing between. Isn't that lovely? Don't you feel the need of it sometimes? The last verse, please. Nothing. Building over against me convene. Marching and prayer and self-denial. I triumph at last with nothing between. Nothing between myself and the Savior. And his faith. What a theme. What a theme. Walking with the Savior. There's another hymn. It's not in our book. He walks with me and he talks with me. As we go along the way. Again, I say, you know how it is when two lovers are holding hands and walking along. They talk to each other, don't they? You want to hear the Lord's voice? Walk with it. And you hear what he has to say. May God bless us all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence divine. We thank thee for who thou art. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for thy precious word which advises us and teaches us thy truth and thy way. May it be ours to walk with our Lord. In spite of all that we see around, the evil, the degradation, the violence, the confusion, may it be ours to walk with the Lord. We think of the little ones in our midst and thank thee for them. And our prayer is that ere long they will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We think again of our brother and sister who have brought their little one to present him to the Lord. Grant thy favor, thy goodness upon them, upon every parent here. Dismiss us now with thy blessing resting upon us. Is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.